Mr. Hildebrand.
I'd like to start my argument by referring to the guilty verdict at pages 35 and 36 of the appendix. And you will see that the verdict clearly finds that the defendant was guilty on all of six counts of both, was found guilty of both violating 656 and Section 2 of the Criminal Code. And for the reasons that we have stated in our brief, the conviction under Section 2 simply cannot stand. The jury was instructed on aiding and abetting, and there was really...
Well, what about aiding and abetting the mysterious woman?
The mysterious woman that appeared at the... she's not a bank employee, Your Honor, and to be guilty of aiding and abetting a violation of 656, the person whom is aided and abetted must be a bank employee.
If the evidence of aiding and abetting was so lacking, why can't we just presume that the jury convicted Dinkins of violating 656 and ignored the aiding and abetting instruction?
Well, that would, if I may, Your Honor, that would say that what the court would do would take a blue pencil or a red pencil and just strike out Section 2 from the verdict. And I think it would be improper under the doctrine that juries are presumed, and I think correctly so, to follow the instructions that they are given. And this instruction simply was wrong and had no basis in the evidence. So you have a defective verdict, and the question is whether or not the court should judicially amend this verdict to strike out the Section 2 when the jury was instructed and made certain findings.
Well, what about aiding and abetting Miss Bolton? She's a bank employee.
Well, the only... There's no evidence that Ms. Dinkins aided and abetted her at all. Defense counsel who tried the case argued that it's possible that she did it and all of that, which we know.
No, but if you do that, don't you open the door to an aiding and abetting instruction?
Well, no, I don't think so unless there's evidence that the defendant herself aided and abetted this.
Suppose, all right, defense lawyer tries to shift the blame to someone else. The someone else is a fellow employee. So why isn't it legitimate for the prosecutor to say, well, you know, maybe she was involved too, but in that event, maybe she was the principal, maybe as the defendant is arguing, but in that event, at least our defendant was an aider and abetter of her, right?
Well,
so isn't that invited by defense lawyer's tactic?
It may invite it if there is evidence to support it. But there's no evidence that...
Well, if the defendant is permitted to make an argument with no evidentiary basis, why isn't the prosecutor be permitted to respond in kind?
The prosecutor did respond in kind, but the prosecutor, I think, in the court made an error in taking this case and characterizing it.
I don't understand. Yeah. You say the defense lawyer, with no basis in the evidence, tried to shift the blame to Bolton.
Well, there was some basis in the evidence. There was motive, opportunity,
right,
and all of that
basis
stuff.
In the evidence, then there was some basis for the prosecutor to ask for an aiding and abetting instruction.
I disagree with that, Your Honor, because there was no evidence that Ms. Dinkins
was... The defense lawyer was saying that Bolton was the wrongdoer, right?
That's right, but where is the evidence that Dinkins...
If Bolton was the wrongdoer, didn't Dinkins help her?
No, there was no evidence that she was helping Bolton. Where is the evidence? Bolton approved her, or there was evidence that she approved one transaction. There was no evidence of any...
What did the defense lawyer say about Bolton?
Pardon me?
What did the trial lawyer say about Bolton?
Well, he brought out the fact that she was a bank employee, head teller, had access to the same information as Dinkins and all the rest of the tellers that worked at the bank, and she had some financial problems. She had judgments against her, and it could have been her. That's what he argued.
All by herself?
I would assume so. The defense lawyer didn't get up and say, hey, your jury, members of the jury, he didn't argue that there was any evidence that Dinkins aided and abetted Bolton.
Well, if there's evidence against Bolton and evidence against Dinkins, why doesn't it suggest that they were helping each other?
Where is that evidence? It's not there, Your Honor.
It's an inference from the fact that you have two fellow bank employees, both of whom are suspected of wrongdoing, involving the exact same, you know, loss of money and so on, right?
Well, that's correct, but you have to have more than a suspicion. You have to have some hard evidence. You have to have some communication. You have to have some proof.
Well, the defense lawyer hardly had hard evidence against Bolton.
That's true.
But he was permitted to drag that theory in front of the jury.
Well, that's not my fault. But in any event,
the defense lawyer does can open the door for a prosecutor.
The defense lawyer can open the door for prosecutors to bring out other evidence and to make rebuttal and to do all these things that prosecutors do, and properly so. But that does not justify an instruction that is not based on the evidence, Your Honor. It just isn't.
Do you have any information about how often customers at this bank complain about withdrawals that they didn't authorize? I mean, in other words, are 6 such complaints in a one-month period excessive?
Well, it would seem to me, although I'm an appellate lawyer here reading the record, and there's testimony that that is unusual, and I think common sense would obviously suggest that it was. That doesn't justify the aiding and abetting issue which we have raised.
What during Bolton's cross-exam, wasn't there information elicited during the cross-exam of her that could let the jury infer that there was an aiding and abetting?
I don't know what that was. The fact that she had financial problems, and I don't think there's anything that came out that she and Dinkins were in cahoots or that Dinkins was helping her in any way. That wasn't done. And that's the problem, I think, with the aiding and abetting instruction.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Hildebrand.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Phillips?
Counsel, my name is Nelson Phillips. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin representing the United States in this case, and I was trial counsel as well.
Then why did the government charge Dinkins under Section 2 at all? Was there ever any evidence that she was working with an accomplice who was a bank employee?
I will say that there was very little evidence that she was working with a bank employee. I understand that, yes. But Section 2, in concert with Section 656, made sense with the evidence that we had at the time of the charging. I certainly think it made sense at the time of trial, as the evidence that defense counsel elicited from the cross-examination of Ms. Bolton, as well as the cross-examinations of Ms. Smith and Ms. Sellers, clearly indicated that the theory was that Ms. Bolton was essentially, or at least the possibility of Ms. Bolton as a principal existed.
So you're saying this evidence or cross-examination suggested that Dinkins was helping Bolton?
I think defense, to be frank and honest, the defense theory, I believe, as they indicated in their opening statements and closing arguments, was that this was a whodunit case, and they were trying to shift the blame to Ms. Bolton. However, in doing so, and that was somewhat of a surprise at trial, but in doing so, they, as the court indicated, opened the door to an aiding and abetting instruction simply because there was ample evidence of Ms. Dinkins actively stealing money from the bank in what she did as a teller. And when you have the January 6th transaction that Ms. Bolton directly affected by, at least the evidence indicates that she used her override numbers to effectuate or to complete the transaction, I think
you're saying the two of them were working together on that override business, that one transaction. And so if Bolton was the the mastermind criminal, Dinkins, was helping her trying to succeed.
That'd be the alternative theory that the United States would posit, yes.
Was the individual in the white hat who appears twice on the surveillance videos ever identified or charged?
She was never identified.
Never identified.
FBI, the special agent could not find her.
I mean, don't we have to assume, based on the instructions, that Dinkins was also convicted of aiding and abetting?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think that the indictment charged Dinkins essentially as the principal in this case. The language in all six counts indicates that she, as the teller, was the individual who, using her position as a bank teller, purloined the monies. In 656 and Section 2, where Section 2 is a complement to 656, essentially. I hate to use the phrase catch-all, but in the same token, 656 was the principal charge. And the government's theory throughout the trial was that Ms. Dinkins acted alone. It was only when defense counsel at trial posited the theory that it was somebody else, specifically Ms. Bolton, because of all the circumstances and factors, that aiding and abetting became an issue. Because clearly, Ms. Dinkins was involved in these transactions. She didn't dispute that. It was the nefarious inferences that would have led to a theory of aiding and abetting at that time.
That it? Okay, thank you, Mr. Phillips. Yep. And Mr. Hildebrand, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Anything further, Mr. Hildebrand?
Thank you, Your Honors. I would like to briefly respond to Judge Rovner's question. The jury clearly convicted Dinkins of violating Section 2 under an aiding and abetting instruction that was given. There can be, even though the government says that that didn't happen or might not have happened, the verdict is clear and the instruction is clear. So I think the court has to take that as a given in deciding this case.
Well, but the jury may have thought that Bolton was involved and that they worked together on this one transaction where Bolton authorized the override. If they're working together, then, you know, it's appropriate to give an aiding and abetting instruction.
Well,
it makes sense. They point the finger at Bolton. And then it turns out that Bolton authorized, what, this $4,000 transaction?
One of the transactions, yes.
And possibly did that, you know, unlawful, or, you know, in violation of bank regulations. So you put two and two together and get something, some approximation to four. You say, yeah, well, if Bolton is the, you know, superior, and she did this, so forth, they're working together.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I shouldn't use that word, but this is putting two and two together and getting 12.
I don't think so. It's a pretty good theory. It's a pretty good theory. Bolton is a higher officer of some sort, I mean somewhat superior, and she's authorizing this unauthorized override, and Dinkins, we know, is doing bad things, so maybe Dinkins is helping Bolton.
Well, I don't think there's enough evidence to sustain that kind of a theory, and that's all laid out in my brief. And thank you, Your Honors, for...
Okay, well, thank you. And you were appointed, were you
not? Yes,
so thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you.
And, of course, thank you to the prosecutor as well. So the court will be in recess until 9:30 today, I suppose.